I was telling the fellows here this evening that they'd better never ask me to come to the Glen if they really don't want me to come. My heart has been in this work since almost the beginning. Dawson Trotman came to Columbia Bible College when I just began my teaching. And I sensed right away that this was a work of God, especially geared to teaching the Word of God. And that's what I had been called to do. So I wanted to come then and get some training with him, and the Lord never made it possible. 10 or 12 years ago, my family and I were camping out in the West. We landed in Colorado Springs. One of my boys was involved with the navigators, and he said they're having a conference, so let's camp in Colorado Springs. So we put our tent, and you should have seen the place we found down here in town to put our tent. Then we came out here for the first meeting. And then they invited us to close the tent and move into the castle. And so for the week, we were their guests. It was a great blessing to myself and my family. Then last summer, I'll never forget those 2 weeks with those fellows. You don't get away with anything when you're teaching the navigators. But God taught me something, and I'll never forget it. Just before I left Columbia, one of our graduates from last year came by to see me. He said, "Mr. Hatch, what are you going to do next week?" I said, "I'm going out to the Glen." He said, "What are you going to do out there?" I said, "I'm going to speak." He said, "Oh." He said something, and I'll have to say he was right. He said, "I thought you were going out there just to get sharpened up." And I say this from my heart. Every time I've been out here, I've been sharpened up. And I tell you, I don't come here just to talk to you. I come here to be sharpened up by you, by all of you. We are here together to be taught by the Lord Himself through one another. And I mean that. And I'm looking forward to the others who will share the ministry, as well as all of you who are members of the body of Christ. We will be taught by God through one another. And I'm looking forward to these days of being sharpened up myself. You cannot get together as the people of God and sit before the Lord Jesus in the Word of God without something happening. And so I'm with you in it. I've been asked to lead you in this Bible study. And I want to take just a few moments as we begin to remind you, just to remind you, about this book. I don't think it's necessary. It's not new. But see, I'm a professional in this book. I handle this book all the time. And if anybody needs to be reminded, it's me. But I do want to remind you about how to handle this book. We in America, and especially we in the Bible Belt. Now, I don't know whether Texas is in the Bible Belt or not. I'm not even sure. Well, I won't go. But I know in the Bible Belt, that's across the South, and South Carolina is in the heart of it, and I'm in Columbia Bible College in the heart of the Bible Belt. And I need to be constantly reminded about how to handle this book. Now, may I just give you a quick word about how to handle this book. How you handle anything depends upon what you're handling. And that's all. You don't have to be smart. But you do have to know what you're handling. And if you know what you're handling, then automatically you know how to handle it. If you go out here on a hike and you see one of these beautiful rocks and you pick it up, that's one thing. But I'll tell you, if you go out on the highway and pick up a stick of dynamite, that's another thing, and you better know how to handle it. How you handle anything depends upon what you're handling. If you're handling a rock, you handle it one way. If you're handling a stick of dynamite, you handle it in a different way. Now, let me ask you all as we begin our study of this book, and it's nothing new, but I know we in America constantly forget, do you know what you've got in your hand? Do you know? Do you know up here? Do you know it down here? Every time you come to this book, do you know what you're handling? What you're handling determines how you handle it. And I'll say that 10 more times in case it is erased from the tape. Now listen. How you handle anything depends upon what you're handling. Now let me ask you again, what is this? Let me give it to you by way of reminder in a nutshell. This book that we're going to open in just a moment. This book, as you know, is the Word of God. It is just as much the Word of God as Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, how many of you believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son? Raise your hand. All right. This book is just as much the Word of God as Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying only that it is infallible and inerrant. I do believe that. I'm deeply committed to that. And therefore, it gives us authority. But I'm simply telling you, it is the Word from God. You know what that means as far as how you're going to handle it? Let me ask you another question. How many of you have ever been to heaven? How many of you ever seen God? How many of you ever handled Him? How many of you ever been there and seen it with your eyes? Not one. Well, then psychologically, I'll tell you frankly, it is absolutely impossible for you to understand this book. Then how do you hope to deal with a book that is talking about God, about things of heaven, and about the Spirit that you've had no... All right. Then you come to this book with this. This is a book from God. This is a book about God. This is a book from a land I've had no touch with. And I must have the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my heart, or I'll never understand it. Right? I'll tell you, we come tonight, and we'll come every hour. And I'm asking for you, and I guarantee you, I'll do the same. I must have, and this book must have, and the Lord Jesus must have, your complete heart commitment to Jesus Christ, or you'll never understand it. You've got to come to this book with a whole heart committed to Jesus Christ. I wish I could go into that further. I can't. You know that. I'm simply reminding you. So we'll come, and as you go out by yourself, and as you read this book again and again through these days, before you start reading, prepare your heart. Open your heart and commit yourself to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and you'll see something. May I tell you the other side? This book is not only as much the Word of God as Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it is as much the writings of men as Jesus Christ was a man. How many of you believe He was a man? Raise your hand. Let me ask you another question. Was He a man just like you are? Yes or no? Is He a man like you? I see some shakings of the heads. At what point? Only one point. He was not a pure man. What was that point? He was not a sinner. Apart from that, He was just as human. Did He ever get tired? He got tired. Did he have to drink? Did he have to sleep? Yeah, just like you. Look, you know what that says? This is just as human as any book you've ever read. And I'm asking for you, and this book demands it, and the Lord Jesus demands it, not only your total heart, but it will require also your total what? Everything that you've got in your head that you can apply to this book. You've got to wrestle with the words in all of this book, and then you'll get it. That's the way I'm suggesting for you, not only as we study it together, but the rest of your days. Check it out and see if it's so. This is the Word of God written in the words of men. And I give it my whole heart because the Holy Spirit will show me. And I give it my whole head so I can understand these wonderful words. And I'll guarantee you, you'll find things in this book. It'll just be... I won't tell you how long I've been working in this book. And every time I come to it, even now as I come back to this book of Ephesians, every time I open it, things I never dreamed were there. You'll never get to the bottom of it. It is the Word of God incarnate in the words of men. Be careful how you handle it. I've been asked to lead you in our Bible study in that wonderful, wonderful book of Ephesians. Will you open to Ephesians with me? Tonight, I simply want to introduce you to the book of Ephesians. I think you ought to read this book at least once every day you're on this ground. You can read it in 10, 15 minutes. But with your heart open to the Lord and with your mind active and with your notebook beside you, you ought to read it once every day. This wonderful book of Ephesians. By the end of this week, this book in some new way ought to be yours, and you ought to be in this book just like some of these people that you've never met. They will be in you and you will be in them, and you'll be hooked by the time you leave. And so with the book of Ephesians. The Lord being our teacher, that is going to happen. Now I'd like to introduce you tonight to the book of Ephesians very simply, very quickly. And the first thing I want to set before you is this, and I'm liable to get hooked, and you help me or we'll be here all night. I do want to listen carefully to me now. The first thing I want to give you about the book of Ephesians, I want you to see it. Listen to me. Where does the book of Ephesians come in the library? I wonder how many of you heard me. Where does the book of Ephesians come in the library? Did you hear me? All right, what I'm saying is this. Look up here. This is not a book. It is a library. Now, if this has never dawned on you as far as using your head on this book, you'd better catch it. This book looks like, and that's one reason some people as far as head approach have great difficulty in handling, because it looks like another book. It is not a book. It is a what? Say it once more. It's a library. You walk in any library that is organized, and what will you find? You'll find over here the periodicals, and there you'll find the reference work, and there you'll find your biographies, there your fiction, and then it's all set out like that. And so you turn to this book and you'll find history. You know where that is? You'll find law. You'll find poetry. You'll find prophecy. You'll find biography. You'll find letters. You'll find apocalyptic writing. Just like a library. Now, the question I want to deal with very quickly. Where does the book of Ephesians come in this great library? Now, let me ask you another question. I wish I could get a real response from you. Honest. Of all the books in the library, which do you like best? Which are the basic works? Be quiet. Just think. Listen. which are your basic works in any library? University of South Carolina has just recently dedicated a new law school, and in that law school is a library. What do you think are the basic works in that library? Books on theology? Yes or no? Tell me. Books on? Right. At Columbia Bible College, we have a library. What do you think are the basic works at Columbia Bible College? What do you think are the basic works? Bible and theology. Now I come to this book. And I ask you again, what are the basic works? And here I want you to answer to yourself. Which do you like best? And then I'll ask you, which are the basic works? History, law, poetry, prophecy, biography, letters, apocalypse. Which do you like best? Be honest. Scratch that off. Now let me ask you, which is the most basic in God's library? You want me to show it to you? Turn with me, and I'm getting hooked now. We'll be here till 12. I knew it would happen. Turn with me to Luke 24, and I want to give you the word, the simple word of the Lord Jesus. As he did what I trust he'll do for me and for all of us in these days. Luke 24, verse 44. This is after Jesus Christ has come. He has been crucified. He's been raised from the dead. And just before he ascended to heaven, he's talking to his disciples. Chapter 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are my words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. You see, he's referring to the library. Now look at this next verse. Then opened he their mind that they might understand the scriptures. How many of you want to understand the scriptures? Don't raise your hand. You see the secret of it. The Lord Jesus opened their minds that they might understand the scriptures. There's what he'll do in our hearts. Now watch what he says in the next verse. This is the key. Verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written. And I'm deeply convinced that in these two verses, he summarizes all scripture and gives you the basic works of the library of God. And then we'll fit into that the book of Ephesians. Verse 46, read it, follow as I read it. And he said unto them, thus it is written, that the Messiah should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. You know what that says? Here's what he says. Has the whole, take my word for it, I don't have time to show it. Take my word for it. The whole Old Testament from Genesis right on down through the Gospels is this, that the Messiah should suffer, should die, and should be raised from the dead. Now look at the rest. And verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations. And that's from Pentecost right on through the rest. Now you've got it all together. Look up here and I'll wrap it up for you and we'll put Ephesians in it. Now watch carefully. Here's the whole scripture. Messiah should suffer, should die, should rise from the dead. Let me ask you, is that history, a law, a poetry, a prophecy? Which is it? Which is that? I didn't hear you. Oh no, oh no. I didn't ask, which is it? Is that history, law, poetry, or prophecy? Let me say it again. Messiah must die and be raised from the dead. Is that history, law, poetry, or prophecy? That is essentially what? Say it. No. That is essentially history. What God did on this earth. Right? Say right. I mean, I'm serious. The Lord Jesus summarized it again. Now watch this. And repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations. Is that history or prophecy or letters or what? That is what? When a man goes out and preaches to all the nations, that is what? That's history. And that is recorded in the book of Acts. Now you see where we are. Now we're ready for Ephesians. Now look, Jesus Christ summarized the same thing in John 20, 21 when he said this. Listen to it. As the Father hath finished it, sent me. That is pure history. God sent Jesus Christ. Now watch it. So finish it. So send I you. Now we've got it. We're ready for Ephesians. But we've got to have Ephesians. Now look what you've got. As the Father sent Messiah, and anybody who receives him is what? Say it. Say it. And that person goes out and preaches the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now that's what the Bible is about. That's your basic works. God is working a great program of redemption. He provided redemption through his Son, and now he's proclaiming redemption through his disciples. And now watch. Look up here as we wrap up this. Watch. You know what Ephesians does? As do all of the epistles. I wonder how many of you have been struck by this. As a person who has heard that Jesus Christ came and died for his sins, and he reached out as I did, and he took Jesus Christ, and God does what? Say it. And God saves him. And then he goes and begins to preach. Is there anything in between? Is there anything in between? My friend, do you realize that is the great contribution of the work that God has raised up in the navigators? I wonder how many of you realize it. Do you? As a man who has received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he knows it. And the church in America is in desperate need because immediately he turns, he says, all right, you go out and do what? Tell somebody else. And there is a great vacuum in between. And the missing link between this one who has received Jesus Christ and this one who goes out to witness to Jesus Christ are these wonderful letters, these epistles, which tell me, who have received Jesus Christ as Lord, how I can live as God wants me to live as I go out to witness for Jesus Christ. And if you leave that out, I'm telling you, we're in trouble. With great joy, I turn with you to the purest of all these epistles. And that's the book of Ephesians. I wonder if you see what I'm saying. If you don't understand this, that having received Jesus Christ as your Savior, before you go out to tell others about him, there is something here you've got to grapple with. From Romans through Jude is God's great revelation, which will tell these people what they must know as they go out to do this. Ephesians stands right in the middle, right in that section of the library which says epistles, and gives me the purest doctrine, the purest teaching along this line. It's with great joy that I turn with you now to the book of Ephesians. You see where it comes into the library. It does not tell me how to become a Christian. And it does not tell me how to witness for Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. I was stricken one time years ago when I went through all of these epistles trying to find something about how to witness. Never tells me about that. He doesn't tell me how to become a Christian. He doesn't tell me how to witness. But I'll tell you, he tells you things that are indispensable if those who have received Jesus Christ are going to witness effectively and get this job done that God has commissioned us to do. That's the epistles. And I say again, Ephesians is the purest of all the epistles. Now, as we close tonight, I want to give you one more introductory thing. All the epistles are like that. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, all of them. But now Ephesians. Tonight I want to give you, by way of introduction, a title to the book of Ephesians. What is this book about? You see, a title is to give you what the book is about. What do you call it? You call this book, name it. What's the name of it? Say it. Ephesians. Does that tell you what it's about? That doesn't tell you what it's about. That tells you what? The book of Ephesians, that title tells you what? That's the name of it. Well, it tells me, it must tell me something. Ephesians is the name of this book, but it doesn't tell me anything what the book is about. It tells me only to whom the book was addressed, to whom it was written. It was written to the church at Ephesus. That doesn't tell me anything what it's about. Now, in these closing minutes, I want you to turn to Ephesians, and I want you to see for yourself, if possible, what this book is about. It's different from Romans. It's different from Corinthians. It's different from Galatians and Colossians and Philippians. I hope you don't dump them all together. And how many of you... Now, I better not get off on that. How many of you want to be treated as a person in your own right? All right. Now listen, these books have just as much right to be treated in their own right as books with their own personality. And I plead with you to handle them that way. And Ephesians is different from Colossians and all these others. And you ought to have a title for it. You ought to know some of these people. You don't know me any more than a man, but I hope before this week is over, you'll say, he's crazy, but I know him. And you ought to know Ephesians, and you ought to be able to give me a title. What's this book about? And so with Colossians and all these others. Now, let me ask you. Let's turn to Ephesians, and the first question we'll ask, is it really true what I have said, that Ephesians is written to people who are real believers in Jesus Christ? Let's follow these verses, and I want you to take your stand on that issue. Not because I said it, not because you've heard it, not because you read it in a commentary, but because you see it in that book. All right, read with me. Follow as I read these verses. After I've read these verses, I want you to raise your hand. How many of you will stake your life, at least this week at Glen, how many will stake your life on the fact that this book was written to believers? All right, let's follow these verses. Chapter 1, verse 1. This is where it begins. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't decide yet. Insufficient evidence. Does it sound like they're believers? Don't decide yet. Look at the next verse. No, excuse me, drop down to verse 13. Chapter 1, verse 13. He talks about things that about himself and those who are with him. Then he turns to them in verse 13. In whom ye also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having also believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Does it kind of look like these are believers? Don't decide. Not yet. What do you think? Are they real believers? Yes or no? Don't decide yet, but just look. Look at verse 15, chapter 1. For this cause I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which is among you, and the love which ye show toward all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you. Are they Christians? Yes or no? Oh, wait a minute, don't decide yet. Let's take a few more. Turn to chapter 2, verse 8. Everybody knows chapter 2, verse 8. But it's not the main point of the paragraph. So look for that when we get to it. Chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace have ye been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Are they Christians? I'm going to ask you to decide after one more verse. Chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Now let me ask you again. Now all of you make your decision. Raise your hand. How many of you are convinced, not from what I say, not from what the commentaries say, from this book, that these are believers in Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Do you see it? All right, now let me ask you another footnote question. Do you think these are kind of Christians we're growing in America, you know, where they join the church and maybe they think they're Christians and they're not sure. Sometimes you think, are that kind of Christians? Well, if I had time to read to you what happened in Acts chapter 19 when they came to know Jesus Christ. And mighty miracles, and the word of God were increased in mighty power. And the name of Jesus Christ was glorified. And Paul worked great miracles in their midst. And some of those who believed were deeply convicted of their sin. And they came and brought thousands of books on magic and burned them up. Would you say they are just nominal Christians? Yes or no? I want to tell you, listen to me. Listen to me. Do you know what the American church would do if he found a group of believers like that? If you were to ask the American church, what do they need now? They need only to do what? Get busy and go out there and work. Right? And maybe there's some of you who do not realize that if you don't get into these epistles, you're in trouble. God is working in an amazing way in our day, especially with young people. I'll not go into all that, but people are getting saved. I want to tell you this. If they do not get into these epistles, what do they need now? I want to tell you, they need two great things. All the epistles tell me this, and Ephesians, so pure, will lay it before us so clearly. There are two desperate needs. You say he's saved, he knows he's saved. Oh, you say he's not filled with the Spirit. Oh, yes. You say that, oh, yeah, you go back and read Acts 18, 19. They're even speaking in tongues. You know what they need? Two great things. And I plead with you. They've got to have it. And God did not leave it. Leave them alone. He gave it to them. And in a pure way, he presents it in Ephesians. You know what they need? This is what they need. Let me give you an illustration. It's ridiculous, but maybe it'll get the point across. I have something up here. It's a very valuable instrument. Suppose I was the manufacturer of them, and I'd call you up, and I'd say, you need a job, yeah. You want to make a lot of money, yeah, all right. I've got something for you, and I'll give you one of these. And I give it to you. And now I say to you, all you have to do is go out into the world and sell them, because they are valuable instruments. And I give it to you. And I say, now don't look at it. Just go out and sell it. Now that is ridiculous, my friend. But do you realize that's what's happening with believers and believers all over our land? Please forgive my ridiculous illustration. God has come with the most precious gift, and He has given it to people. And then we say, go out and tell it to somebody, or give it to somebody else. All right, now you tell me. Before you can be an effective salesman, you must know two things. And that's Ephesians. What two things must you know? Number one, tell me all together. You must know number one, what? Say it. What it is. Do you want to know what this is? I'll show it to you and you still won't know. Do you know? Maybe that's one reason God has brought you together here. It'd be that too. When He sends you back to witness back yonder, maybe you don't know what you have. Do you know what this is? I'll show it to you. Do you know what that is? Oh, he says a stopwatch. Oh, it's no stopwatch. What do you think? That's no stopwatch. It looks like a clock. It's not even a clock. Listen, I've got to know what that is, or I'll never. I don't know what it is. I begin turn, and the hands turn, and I turn this, and the face turns. What? I don't have the slightest idea what that is. Now, be honest with me. How much good will it do me if I don't even know what it is? Tell me. Do you realize there are thousands of, I believe, real born-again believers? And perhaps there's some of us here who need to be reminded, and perhaps some who've never found it, who don't know what you've got. I won't get into that. You've got to know what this is. I'll tell you in a minute. If I tell you, will you believe me? Yes or no? Because that's what you're going to have to do when God tells you in Ephesians. I'll tell you what this is. But the second thing I've got to know, if I'm going to sell this and make a lot of money, I've got to know what it is. Second, I've got to know what? Say it. Well, that's part of what it is, what it does. But I've got to know how to use it. And I want to tell you, I can't tell you how to use it because I don't know how to use it. I'll tell you now what this is. This is a very delicate instrument. Not very expensive, $30, $35. It's a very delicate instrument which will measure the time on a tape at a very rapid speed. So if I'm going to measure the time of my message on a tape, I can run it through here and it'll tell me how long at any speed that message is on tape. It is a tape timer. Oh, I didn't realize. I've got my friend, some of you have something in your pocket from God and you don't know what it is. Now, the second thing is you got to learn how to use it. I don't know how to use it. You got to learn how to use it. See, I cannot tell you how to use it. I've never used it. My friend, that is Ephesians, and I want to show it to you as we close. Turn to the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians does this. There is something very unusual about the book of Ephesians. Turn with me to chapter 3, verse 20. And let's just read this verse, and then I'll ask you, what do you think? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus, unto all generations forever and ever. What is that? What do you call that kind of verse? Now unto him that is able to do, be glory forever and ever. What is that? That's a what? That's a benediction. When do you have the benediction in the service? The beginning or the end? Don't you wish we'd hurry up? Listen. Do you realize a benediction comes at the end? Did you ever realize that Paul puts the benediction here, right in the middle? He does that on one or two other epistles. You better watch him when he does it. You know why he's doing it? Look at the last word in chapter 3. What is the last word in chapter 3? Say it again. When do you say amen? The beginning or the end? Beginning or the end? Are you liable to say amen all through if you're shouting Methodist? But seriously, you say amen at the end. And Paul, as far as I know now, this is the only epistle where Paul drops an amen right in the middle. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. I have told you God's answer to your first great need. And now unto him be glory. Amen. There's your first great need. Do you know what it is? He has told you what you have in Jesus Christ. Now unto him who is able be glory. Amen. Then he gives another benediction at the end in chapter 6, verse 23. Peace be to the brethren in love and faith from the God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. Do you know what happens? Anybody who reads Ephesians, and as you read it, you want to note it, here's what you've got. You've got almost two little books. And the first thing he says, here's the first thing I've got to give you. And it's almost in terms of this ridiculous illustration. He says, I want to tell you what you have. Not what you're going to get, what you have now. Oh, I can hardly wait to get in it. Do you know? Do you know what it is? Oh, you say, I'm saved. Do you know what that is? Listen, if you guess, if you figure it out your own mind, you will miss it every time. It's the most natural heresy among Christians. God says, I'll not leave it to you. I'll tell you what you've got. This is a tape time. Oh. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 tell you what you have, what God has done for you. And if you don't shout a couple of times before we finish that time, something's wrong. Then he turns in chapter 4, 5, and 6, and he says, listen, I've told you what it is, but my friends, you need to know also how to use it. You need to know how to work this thing. You've got something that's so precious that'll cause you to shout hallelujah, but you've got to learn also how to use it. Oh, my friend, it is the scandal of American Christendom that we don't know what we have and we don't know how to use it. That is Ephesians. Now, let me close while giving you two verses. Look, let me give you two verses, one from each, and this will summarize Ephesians. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. Here's what you have. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Now, we're not going to study this. We'll study this tomorrow. I'd like to cover chapter 1 tomorrow. And then chapter 2 the next day. And then chapter 3 is kind of parenthetical, and so we'll turn to 4 and 5 on the last. So we'll take two periods on each of these. What we've got, and we'll be shouting, and then how to use it. Look at chapter 1, verse 3 now. Here's what you've got. And I'll tell you, you can spend weeks. Paul usually starts his epistles by thanking God for these believers. He said, man, I'm not going to do that now. I just want to praise God. Listen to him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with... Can't read that next word. How many? I didn't hear you. You don't any more believe that than the man in the moon. Many of you don't even know it. And I'm going to call on you and I'm going to call on myself that when God tells you, He expects you to believe it and act on it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all or every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do you know what you've got? I want to tell you, it hit me as I was just trying to meditate on this on the plane up from Columbia. And I tell you, it's so fabulous. And some of us don't even have any idea what you've got. You'll never live like God expects you to live if you don't know what you've got. You know it's wonderful, but you don't know what it is. That's Ephesians 1 through 3. Turn to chapter 4, verse 1. Now watch, the whole thing shifts. He's already said, amen, I'm through with that. Now let's pick up something else. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beseech you to, what's that next word? One of those hard words. To what? Walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called. Oh, listen, you've got a lot. I beseech you. You've got something that's priceless. It's better than a tape timer. But you've got to learn how to use it. I beseech you to walk worthily of your calling. You've got to learn to walk. It doesn't come automatically, even though you've been born again. You've got to learn. And God has not left it to you. He has told you how to walk. Let me close with this. We won't even turn to it. Do you realize, look up here as we close, and with this we'll pray. Do you realize there are two prayers in the book of Ephesians? And you know what they deal with? I'll give you the essence of each one of them. We'll pray them both. Here's the first prayer. If God's going to tell us what we have, we've got it right here, but we don't know what it is, and He's going to tell us. And then Paul prays in his first prayer. He says, oh, that God would grant you that the eyes of your understanding might be opened, that ye might know. Know what? What you've got. You know what the second prayer is? Oh, he bows his knees before the Father and he prays that you might be strengthened in the inner man with all power. Why? That you might handle it right. I wonder if you see that. Two prayers. One deals with this and one deals with this. Now, can you give me the title of the book of Ephesians? What is it about? It's about two things. And anybody who reads Ephesians will see it. You'll see it if you read it. The first half tells me what God has done. Second half tells me what God wants me to do about it. First half tells me what God has given me. Second half tells me how I can use it. Let's pray that God will enable us to understand and know it. That He will strengthen us with power in the inner man that we might use it. That's Ephesians. How many want to get into it? Do you really? Not just get some ideas, but to get it down where God intends His Word to be abiding in us. Shall we pray together? Father, we believe Thou hast given us a complete library. Nothing can ever be added. Nothing need be added. Because with all of these books, a man of God may be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Father, we praise Thee for these epistles. Thou hast not left us to figure out what we have or how to use it. Thou hast given us these great words. And for this great word Thou hast given to the Ephesians, Father, we are almost reluctant to touch these wonderful words. But we do pray with Paul that Thou wilt open the eyes of our hearts. Give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him that we might know what we have.
Then, Father, wilt thou by the same Holy Spirit strengthen us with power in the inner man, that we might use it aright. Then we can go out to make him known to the ends of the earth. Work this in all of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.